Welcome to the Hoof and Fang Podcast. I'm Kurt Graves.
And I'm Maz Medics.
Welcome to another week, another episode. How the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm like just came off of a conference
call.
So I'm like retooling my brain for fun things instead of arguing with people. So yeah, I'm good. I'm good. A little frazzled today, but otherwise fantastic. How
okay,
are you?
That's good. Good. It is tax week for me.
Yeah.
And I always forget how mind numbing it is and how long it takes. And I never leave myself enough time. But this year I did almost by accident.
Nice.
So, but it's like, I always think like two full days should be enough to like gather all of my, cause I'm diligent throughout the year of like doing my invoices and when they get paid. So like my income is all accounted for.
Yeah.
It's my expenses that I'm not good at entering those on a regular basis. So there's this point at the end of a tax period, at the beginning of a year, when I have to go through and add all of my expenses for the whole year.
Yeah.
Into my accounting software. And there are a lot of expenses associated with doing this work. Lots of subscriptions, lots of monthly things, little hits. And it's like, oh, if I could just say I spent, you know, $120 on this subscription for the year and just enter that.
Yeah.
But no, I have to enter $10 a month for every month at the appropriate intervals so that if I'm ever, you know, audited, it's like, okay, so what expense was this related to? It's related to this bill. Like,
yeah.
This receipt. Like, it's just like, could we please?
Yeah. Okay. I feel better because I also wait until the last minute to like, I dump all my expenses into like QuickBooks.
Yep.
And luckily, at least with that software, I can set up rules to where I'm like, if it's this is what this is, just pull it automatically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it takes me probably a good two solid days to do it. So I usually burn through a weekend and I haven't even started that. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know when the fuck I'm going to do it.
Well, sometime before April 15th.
Yeah, hopefully. Shit. So yeah,
I apply for that extension now. I'll be like, we're moving. Can I have some more time?
Yeah, I think I probably will, honestly, just so I can land in Arkansas and be like, Texas. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, it's not fun. I don't envy you for having to do that this week.
But it'll be nice to have it done with. And glad I inadvertently had the time to do it.
Yeah.
Because this was not a week that like I originally planned on taking off, but once it got close, I was like, all right, that's the week I'll do taxes and I won't fill that with a project.
Yeah.
So
nice.
So yeah, but that's all I'm doing is just like sitting in that room. I have Downton Abbey on the TV just so I have something to occupy another half of my brain.
Yeah.
As I click into invoice after invoice and download it. And I'm not even printing them off anymore. Like my accountant did say, like, have the digital files, have them easily accessed.
Yeah.
So I can do that at least. I'm just downloading them and like entering them as I go. But it is,
tedious.
It's mind numbing.
Yeah. It's rough.
So, nothing fun or exciting to talk about for me.
Yeah. Same. I don't have, well, actually kind of exciting. So I got new covers for the relic books and I have my proofs and they're at the house or at the apartment right now. So when I get to go home today, I get to rip open the box and hopefully be delighted, not be like, crap, something wrong with the file.
Right.
So, but I'm optimistic and if they look pretty, I'll take pictures, but that's kind of cool. I'm excited about that. Yeah.
What could go wrong?
So Ingram Spark is not super user friendly. So like when I uploaded the files, I kept getting weird errors. And it kept saying it was wrong. And so I kept going back to the artist and being like, it's saying it's wrong, but it doesn't tell me what's wrong.
Right.
Which is not helpful to you. So I would like resend the templates and she'd be like, okay, yeah, they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. So then I'd upload it and be like, oh, it's supposed to be not RGB, but a different thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you convert them? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay.
No. What does she mean? No.
She said she was like, I can't convert it to that. So I had to like try to do some finagling on my side.
Has this person never done a book cover before?
She does book covers all the time, but I guess they're...
All printing is done in CMYK.
Yeah, I don't know.
All printing.
I know. So she was like, I can't do that. Like, she doesn't have the software for it, but she does make book covers and I've seen them printed before. So I'm like, what? So I had to figure that out and I think I did. That's why I'm like, hopefully the file looks good, but I don't know if I did it right. So...
I mean, it really should be designed in CMYK if it's going to be printed in CMYK.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anybody who's doing something that's designed to be printed should know that.
Yeah.
Especially if they're collecting money.
Right. So we're going to see.
We're going to see.
That's kind of all I can do at this point. So I'm like, okay, cool beans. If it looks weird, I will start asking people for help. But I figured I was going to try to see if I could fix it myself. So, but yeah, I actually had chatted in to Ingram and was like, hey, like, I'm getting weird errors. Can you tell me specifically what's wrong? Like, is it not lining up? Is it because it's not formatted? And they're like, we can't tell you what's wrong with it. You just have to make it ready to go. And I was like, super, thank you for not helping.
Do you have a checklist at least of like all the things it must be? And then I can go through that checklist one by one and check it.
That's what I was like, what tools can you give me? So maybe I can figure out what's wrong with it. And they were like, the template. I'm like, yeah, I fucking have the template. Like, you know what I mean? So it was very frustrating. At least with like Amazon, it'll kick back exactly what's wrong. Be like, hey, this is goofy. You need to align by 0.2 pixels or whatever. So I'm like, don't make me defend Amazon. Like, what are you doing? You know? So it's been tricky, but I'm hoping figured it out. So we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I get home and I'm like, yay. And I can just, I can't even order any right now because we're moving, but I was hoping I'd get it in time so I could order my batch and have it ready for opening my store again and shit. But
better to just have it shipped down there.
I know.
Who wants to deal with moving all that?
Exactly. Product? So yeah, I just got excited.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
good luck.
Yeah. Good luck.
I look forward to hearing how that goes.
Yeah. I'll send you a text later, either like all happy face or just fuck in all caps. Yeah. So good. Let you know.
Good. Now, speaking of Amazon and trying not to be on their side.
Right.
There was a little bit of controversy this week as another boycott has sprung up on social media to like boycott Amazon ebooks and Audible audiobooks because they are attached to, in many ways, accurately described as a big evil corporation.
100%.
And certainly one that has sold its soul to the Trump administration in trying to keep itself alive, which I will say, like, Amazon employs tens of thousands of people across the country.
Yep.
And so I don't want the business to fail entirely. I do just wish they were a little more ethical in their business practices.
100%, yeah.
And I certainly do wish that authors were making more money off the work that they sell through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is a boycott the answer?
I mean, I definitely don't think so, but also, full disclosure, I'm on Amazon. Mm-hmm. My books are all on KU. The whole reason I'm doing Ingram is so the paperbacks can be everywhere, but I've tried to go wide before and I didn't make any money. I make money if I'm on KU, so I can afford to do things like new covers, whatever, right? So for me, I'm like, I don't know who on one side I get it because you're voting with your wallet. If you're not supporting this company, maybe they'll pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't know if this boycott's really going to raise enough alarm for Amazon. I mean, they're basically an unstoppable force at this point. They're like an Eldritch horror, like Cthulhu kind of thing. Like, it's so big. I don't think it can fail anymore. It is so, like, its tendrils are in everything. It's deeply rooted in our commerce that I think if a chunk of us stop using it, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And you're really just kind of kicking the people who are relying on it for a paycheck or to sell their books or whatever, you know?
Well, and I think that's the question.
Yeah.
Is this action going to result in action from the company?
Yeah.
Like, is this boycott going to mean, and like, what are the changes we want to see?
Right. Yeah.
Because I haven't seen that clearly defined.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's where sometimes these online movements, they gain a lot of momentum and people get very excited and they have the best of intentions.
Yeah.
But if it's not about a very specific thing and usually a very specific timeline, like we're all going to start on this date so that we can show the company the kind of buying power we have in all not buying something through Amazon on these dates.
Yeah.
And I would think then pick a Tuesday when a lot of books release, say, all right, this is the day it's going to start and we're going to show Amazon we're not buying things. And certainly if you're moving through your life and you would rather buy something from a local bookstore or even Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
I'm not going to say no, but
yeah,
for so many indie artists, Amazon is the platform mm-hmm. through which you can sell your ebooks.
Yeah.
And Audible is the platform through which we can sell audiobooks. Mm-hmm. It is so much of the market that if you say, I'm not going there anymore, a lot of people who, the people who will be hurt first are the indie artists.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to do that, you really have to be able to answer the question, what is the outcome we want to see? Is it achievable? Mm-hmm. And I just, this sort of spontaneous online movement without specific dates and a specific outcome, mm-hmm. I don't think they're super effective. I do think most people will like trickle back to using Amazon.
Not to be an ass, but that's usually what happens because this isn't the first time we've seen this. Because it
is the only marketplace for indie authors to really find success. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, there are other things out there. There's Kobo Unlimited, which doesn't hold us hostage. Mm-hmm. Like you can be on Kobo Unlimited and everywhere else.
Yeah.
And I know bookshop.org now sells eBooks,
yep.
which is phenomenal. But
unfortunately, they're not compatible with Kindles yet.
Right. They're not compatible with Kindles. And there's so many people, so many readers that I talk to, they're like, I have Kindle Unlimited because I can't afford to just buy books all the time. I'm mm-hmm. on a fixed income. Right. I don't have the budget for it. I can afford $10 a month. I can't afford $10 a book.
And that is where the subscription model, both for KU and for Audible, is, you know, how Amazon cornered the market.
Exactly.
By saying you can pay a set amount every month and mm-hmm. we'll give you a book that's worth more than what you're paying. Mm-hmm. And yet it's all digital, so they don't have any actual expenses on the back end, mm-hmm. other than like the infrastructure, the digital infrastructure of running this e-commerce mm-hmm. business.
Right.
Which is not insignificant.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, we all agree. We've talked about it how many times on this podcast?
Exactly.
Like, authors should make more money mm-hmm. through the things they're selling through Amazon and through Kindle Unlimited. Mm-hmm. Audiobook narrators who are self-producing should make more money through Audible per title than we currently are. Mm-hmm. Like, the artist should be making more than the corporation.
Right.
Or at least equal.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe equal, mm-hmm. you know? And certainly Jeff Bezos and Amazon could afford to make less money every year than they currently do.
No shit.
But that's where I go back to, every time a problem like this comes around, I really want to think about, like, can an individual action mm-hmm. actually affect change?
Yeah.
Or is the real solution something systemic that needs to be done at a much higher level? Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, I think I believe passionately in this issue in getting indie artists more money mm-hmm. and making Amazon a fairer marketplace for the people selling there.
Right.
And I believe the way to do that is to vote for the politicians who will make a really strong laws against monopolies mm-hmm. in our system.
Right.
Who will investigate this monopolistic behavior, mm-hmm. who will fight for the rights of consumers and for artists. Mm-hmm. And we were actually making progress on that in the last administration.
Yeah.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was really like coming down hard on a lot of corporations, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons they funneled a lot of money into the Trump campaign mm-hmm. so that he could win. And he has dismantled all of that. And so, sure, a boycott is great, but none of it will have the force of law. Mm-hmm. And really, what we need in a capitalistic society mm-hmm. is regulation to make sure that capitalism doesn't overrun just basic human decency, which is where we're at.
Right.
Like, we're prioritizing corporations over people mm-hmm. every single day.
Yeah.
And like, that's the norm now.
Right.
Profits over people. Mm-hmm. So capitalism is fine. I know some people disagree with that in any way. I think capitalism is fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, it has to be regulated. Mm-hmm. There has to be a push and pull. There has to be the ability to grow and gain market share and make money mm-hmm. while at the same time having somebody overseeing that process and making sure that you're not fucking everybody over as you make money.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it. And at this point, I don't know if us just not buying books on a random Tuesday that we all decided on is, they're not going to care because they can afford to wait.
Right.
Wait until you don't have another option or you have to get something quick because, you know, for whatever reason.
Right.
Or your favorite bookstore shut down. So where are you going to go?
Right.
So,
and again, I don't want to burst somebody's bubble if they feel really passionate about not shopping at Amazon a Walmart or a Target or anywhere else where you find the business practices are not in line with your ethics. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it did just seem like this specific thing was all about the books, mm-hmm. don't buy your books. And I was like, no. If you're going to stop buying things through Amazon, make it everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not the if one it's thing, indie authors. Or
the
like
one
indie
thing
artists.
You should be buying through Amazon are digital products mm-hmm. that are it's almost a direct sale between the author and the, there's just this digital marketplace go between.
Right.
But otherwise the author puts it up there, you buy it, the author gets money.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Amazon's not yet out there trying to take people's stories and then rewriting it as an Amazon original.
God. I know. I'm terrified.
Amazon Basics fiction.
God.
Wait for that imprint.
Jesus.
That'll be a whole other fight. But mm-hmm. In this case, these digital products, they just don't have many other places to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
Help the authors out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Amazon does have a stranglehold on them because mm-hmm. they demand exclusivity.
Yeah.
Which is why for many of them, you can't just go somewhere else to buy their product, even if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wrong. I would love for that to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to do it from another direction.
Right. Yeah.
Is my 100%. Opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Totally aligned. And to be fair, I mean, that's where our business is these big corporate entities. So of course we're gonna be boycotts suck because I still want to be able to afford to keep doing this.
Right.
So if this folds, I'm probably folding with it. I can't. Right. I've said, I've tried to do the wide thing. Nobody knows I'm out there. That's mm-hmm. that's a death sentence for a lot of us.
Yeah.
So
So
it sucks.
Again, you use your conscience mm-hmm. when you're deciding where to spend your money. Yeah. Nobody can say otherwise.
Right.
But if there was a niggling little feeling in the back of your head about whether or not this would be effective, maybe take what we're saying into consideration then act accordingly. Mm-hmm. And if you're really not sure about it, ask the author you want to buy from.
Yeah.
Hi, hello. Do you have a way to buy something from you other than Amazon? Mm-hmm. No? Okay, I'll go buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, there you go. That's
perfect. Would be a great go around.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a little bit of extra effort, but that is something an individual could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the best way to do it. Honestly, ask mm-hmm. if there's giveaways going on or something. A lot of people,
you go straight to a giveaway?
Well, sometimes
just let them sell it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sell it always because you can get money. But I mean, there's always cool things like that going on. So mm-hmm. worth checking. Maybe one of the books is free this week, just snag those deals when you can. If you can't, snag it some other way. Mm-hmm. there's ways to make it work.
Right.
Yeah.
And don't feel guilty if your finances are such that KU is the way you get to read.
Right. Yeah. I gotta stress that because if you literally cannot afford to do that, don't let people make you feel bad for that. Mm-hmm. If you $10 a month is all you can do, that's perfect for you.
And you know what? I give you permission to lie.
Yeah, there you go.
Lie about it.
Yeah, just be
if somebody's are you boycotting? Be like, yes, I'm so boycotting.
Mm-hmm.
I already done boycotted. I boycotted the house down boots, mama.
Yeah, right.
And then secretly go read your Kindle at night if that's what you can afford.
Exactly.
People don't need to know your private business.
Yeah, and they also don't need to be shitty about things like that. If you're boycotting something and somebody else isn't, great. Fuck it. Just let people be alive right now. Mm-hmm. Things are hard enough. We don't need your bookish friends making you feel bad. Right. You know what I mean?
And there are going to be a lot of boycotts and protests to come where the stakes are literally life and death.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't one.
Yeah.
This corporate greed thing that we want to fight against. We gotta go another way.
Right. Please.
It's just, again, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So, so this weekend is the Oscars.
Yeah.
And last year we started a tradition, which continues now mm-hmm. with our second annual award show here at Hoof and Fang.
Yay!
The Hoofies and Fangies.
I'm so excited. I love these.
So we each are giving out awards. You're giving out the Hoofies. I'm giving out the Fangies.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few categories, many similar to last year, but some new ones this year.
Right.
And we each have three nominees mm-hmm. and a winner for each category.
Yes.
So would you like to begin with our first category, favorite book adaptation, TV or film?
Yes. So two of these are books. One of them is actually a video game that was adapted into a series. Okay. So sorry, but that's all what I had mm-hmm, consumed mm-hmm. in 2024.
You just like to break the rules.
I do.
Every time.
I think this is the only one I broke the rule on.
And you wait to tell me about it till we're on the air.
Exactly. So you can't do anything about it. But I think everything else, I made sure not to be a dick. So
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
All right. So okay. Favorite something adaptation, TV or film.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the second season of Arcane, which is the video game from League of Legends.
Okay.
Love Lies Bleeding. Did you watch that one?
Of course not. Okay. Isn't it horror?
Yeah. Okay.
No.
So that one.
Also, isn't it lesbians?
Yeah. I figured that was going to be the ooh girl thing.
Oh no. First no horror, then no lesbians.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't know the order.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that one. And then Interview with the Vampire season 2.
Okay.
So, and then for me, or do you want to do yours?
No.
And
the award goes to?
And the award goes to Interview with the Vampire.
Okay.
I love it.
Did that win for you last year?
It did.
It continues its winning streak.
Yeah. I mean, I was the interview or the, vampire universe that Anne Rice did was such a cornerstone of my mm-hmm. angsty teenage years. I think it's probably going to win every year it has a season.
Right. Well, there you go. Well,
but it came up against some good ones because Love Lies Bleeding was really awesome and very hot. So,
well, yeah. Since I'm now acquainted with her son, who I'm sure is making money off of that.
Yes. Yeah.
You I can support it.
Huzzah.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Okay. What are yours?
All right. So mine for favorite book adaptation, yeah. TV or film. The nominees are Wicked, Part 1.
Love.
Silo, season 2.
Oh, fucking Silo. I forgot.
Fucking Silo.
Damn it.
Yeah. And the movie Conclave.
Ooh, I don't think.
Which I just watched on a plane going to Houston a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I thought it had to be in 2024.
I mean, it's a 2024 release.
Oh, okay.
Just because I watched it.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, I had to pull back. I was like, what did I consume
in 2024? What did the rules say?
No, you're right.
Released or aired in 2024 yes. calendar year.
Correct.
It is a 2024 Oscar nominee, even though yes. the Oscars don't happen until March 2nd of 2025.
Excellent. Okay.
So Conclave made the list. And for me, the Fangy goes to Wicked Part 1.
Of course. I would be shocked if it was something else on it.
If it was anything else.
Yeah. I'd have been like, are you all right?
You were surprised I came up with some other nominees.
You should have just been like, it's Wicked. We can skip this.
It's Wicked.
Yeah.
It's Wicked. Although I will say, like, both Silo and Conclave are probably even, like, queerer.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
Okay.
If you make it all the way to the end of Conclave, I'm not going to say more than that.
Okay.
But... you know, like Silo especially like has lots of queer representation.
This speaks to how well it's written because I honestly forgot there was queer stuff because it's just such a part of the universe mm-hmm. that it wasn't like, oh, that's like a statement queer thing. It was just like everyone was cool with it. Nobody cares. And right. that's such like one of my favorite kind of like queer fantasy universes when like that is not a point of contention at all.
Yeah. See, for me, when I watch TV and there's a queer relationship, it just kind of like goes on. It's like smooth sailing. Mm-hmm. When a woman and a man kiss on a TV show, I'm like, ugh, who's rocking this boat? who needed to make a statement about this?
They're always putting it in your face.
Yeah.
What can you do?
All right. So next up is favorite book cover.
Okay.
Shall I go first this time?
Yes. All I'm right. also going to Google what you're saying so I can look at covers.
Well, some of them I think you'll know.
Okay.
The first one, the nominees are A Perennial Nominee, Somewhere Beyond the Sea.
Of course.
By TJ Klune.
Excellent.
Red Nose Studios doing that cover art. Mm-hmm. Consistently beautiful.
Yeah.
Upped his game for yes. Somewhere Beyond the Sea. I love the dark background. I love the luminescence of the phoenix on the cover. Mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful.
It is very pretty.
Beautifully done. Next up, Don't Let the Forest In.
Oh, I love that cover.
By C.G. Drews. Like yes. the sort of Victorian painting that looks like it's been ripped and then the floor is coming
through. That was almost
through.
One of mine. Yeah.
It's just one of the most beautiful covers
mm-hmm.
Of the year. And my last one is The Boyfriend Subscription by Stephen Salvatore.
Oh, yes. Because
I had to do one for me.
Of course. Yeah. You have to pick
And
your
I
work.
Just, I loved like the Harlequin, like just old timey look to it. Like that sort of illustrated look from like another time.
Right.
But it's two dudes.
Yeah.
You know? So I loved the style of that for that, mm-hmm. For a Harlequin adult gay romance.
Yeah.
And that. The Fangy goes to Don't Let the Forest In.
Nice. Good choice. Yeah. I ended up picking a different one instead of that one at the last minute, but it was, I almost had the same one. So, but yeah, that cover is beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Okay. So mine are, Sword Crossed by Freya Marsick. Is that how you say your last name? I'm not sure. I've never heard it out loud. Which is so pretty. Have you seen that one?
I feel like I should have because I've looked at the rest of her books.
Yeah, one's illustrated. So it's not like her normal ones where it was just like the minimalist. This one's fully illustrated and it's just so very gay and I love it. Like it has the two boys and their swords are crossed and they're like about to...
Oh, actual swords.
Yeah, actual swords. So yeah, you know, wink, wink, nudge, mm-hmm. nudge. So can't hate that. Love that one so much. Then this one I saw and it was one of those ones where I kept floating back to it because it just looks so interesting. It's A Bone in His Teeth by Kellen Graves. That one has, it's like got a mer shark man on it and it just looks so cool. Like it looks so interesting to me. I haven't read it yet, but I did buy it.
Interesting. I mean, yeah. we do love the last name Graves.
Yeah, right? So you know it has to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And then something that's not typically what I'd pick up book-wise, but Bury Your Gaze by Chuck Tingle. I fucking love that cover. That it looks like an old 80s horror movie.
Yeah.
And that's it. The vibes are just so correct with the bloody hammer, the big pink font. I just like, if that was on a shelf in Blockbuster in the 90s, I would have snatched it up. You know what I mean? Love it. But the hoofy goes to Sword Cross. Because it's just so fucking cute.
Because this is so pretty.
It's so
and
pretty.
I like it so much.
I like it.
All right. So a new category this year, I believe.
Yes.
Favorite drag performer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. So mine, Dawn from season 16.
Okay.
Nymphia Wind, also from season 16.
Mm-hmm.
And then, did you ever watch Dragula with the Brulé brothers?
I haven't watched it, but obviously I am aware of it.
Okay. So I'm not a super big fan of all the stuff they do on that show because there's like a fear factor ish kind of thing that goes into mm-hmm. it, which I think is honestly stupid. But the performance and the artistry and stuff is so cool because it's all horror themed and it's amazing. But my I watched season 6 and Asia Consent was, I think, the winner of that season. And
Asia Consent?
Yeah. Like all of their names are ridiculous.
Oh, we love.
But her stuff was just so elevated and cool. Like that whole season was really good, but hers was like fucking amazing. But yeah, so the hoofy goes to Nymphia Wind because I fucking love Nymphia Wind so much.
She was great.
She was silly and stupid. And mm-hmm. the moment she came on screen, I was like, I don't think she's going to make it. And I love her to death.
Oh really?
Yeah. I was like,
cause that was part of her plan.
Yeah.
Was to be underestimated.
Exactly. I mean, I think she's honestly, there was no plan. She's just pure chaos, but because she was just, everything was banana and ridiculous. I was like, I think she's probably going to be a one-trick pony and eventually fall off. Boy, was I fucking wrong.
Right.
And was like so happy that she made
fantastic.
It to the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my favorites for this
Excellent.
Year. Yeah.
For me, the nominees are mm-hmm. Lazy Susan from Drag Race Down Under.
Love it.
Lavoie from RuPaul's Drag Race UK.
Excellent.
And Safira Cristal from RuPaul's Drag Race US season 16. There's actually a queen that I would love to nominate from this season, but since it started in January, mm-hmm. she'll have to wait till next year.
Right.
But the Fangy goes to Safira Cristal.
Of course.
I mean, I hate to be that guy.
Yeah.
Who's She's like amazing, awarding the US cast above others, but like
she was lovely she was, though.
Like I just think she was one of the best Drag Race competitors.
Yeah.
We've seen in a long ass time, and I love Nymphia.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Safira should have won.
I mean, I don't disagree. I mean,
Safira, we were long overdue for an Asian winner.
For sure.
Long overdue.
For sure, yeah.
And Nymphia is fantastic, but like, Safira killed it all season and was just like, I'm sorry. She was right there. She was right there.
She was great. She immediate, like she came onto the scene singing fucking opera.
Yep.
Like, whoa, right? But she's also just such a lovely person.
Right.
Like she was so warm and helped everyone. I love her so much.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So she'll have her time.
She will.
She will have her time.
Yeah, I think she'll come back and smash it for like All Stars or something.
But that's part of why I think also she should win, because like that bitch is old. Like not old, like, but she's old. She's a lot older than Nymphia Wind.
Yeah.
And like if somebody had to come back to fight for another crown in an All-Star season, make it be the young person.
Mm-hmm.
Not the person pushing 40.
I feel like that was a disturbance in the force. Like somewhere she's like, somebody just called me old. Yeah, I mean.
Old for drag queen, drag queen old.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
You're correct.
Like. Let her have her crown and her $200,000.
Yes.
And let her reign.
Yeah.
And then, make Nymphia go do it again.
Yeah.
She's young.
Mm-hmm. She's got the spunk.
Okay. I do also love Nymphia.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Next category. Favorite new to me author.
Indeed.
In 2024. I'll go first this time.
Mm-hmm.
And the nominees are somebody I did not read until a couple months ago, Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Never read him. Okay.
I never read one of his books until a couple months ago, and it turns out I enjoy it.
Nice. Cool.
Picked it up at the end of the year, like I think around Christmas. So like I didn't even finish his book in 2024.
Because
they're so long.
Yeah.
But I read one and I really enjoyed it.
Which one did you pick up?
I'm starting with the Mistborn series. Okay. So the first one was the Final Empire.
Okay. I need to restart.
I'm like halfway through the second one now.
Nice.
Okay. Several months later, I'm halfway through the second one.
I tried to pick those up years ago and I don't think I was in the right mindset to like devour those because they are like really dense world building and stuff.
Yeah.
So I got to try those again.
But his mind is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The way he builds the world and the powers, the magic structure. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sweet.
So, okay. And speaking of Brandon Sanderson, he also fought Audible.
That's right. He did.
From our previous conversation,
he
was not going to put his audiobooks on Audible until they shared 50% of profits instead of 40. So mm-hmm. like he did some good work on behalf of indie authors and narrators. So another reason he's at the top of my list for new to me authors. Mm-hmm. Another new to me author that I worked for this year.
Okay.
Kayla Ingram, or Kay Ingram, as she was for the book I did.
Okay.
She wrote Icarus, which I narrated at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And I'd never read any of her work before. And it's just so beautiful and mm-hmm. lovely in a stylized approach. Like every chapter was like just a few paragraphs long. And it was like such a beautiful way to tell this story. And I love the queer rep.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed reading her work for the first time. And my third nominee, I was really running out of new to me authors from last year. I was looking back and I was like, I read a lot of like continued series and like authors I'd already read. But somebody I'd never read a book from her before, Barbra Streisand.
Holy shit. Nice.
And I read her whole audiobook, which was over 48 hours long.
Love it.
So it took up a considerable amount of my year.
Yeah. Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Barbra Streisand.
Okay.
Little known Barbra Streisand, a new to me author, because I hadn't read one of her books before.
That's fantastic. I love that.
She did put out like a picture book where she wrote a bunch of stuff. And there's mm-hmm. a play based on that book. And so I've read parts of that book. But I was like, for the purposes of this, that's not going to count.
Yeah.
Because it's like a coffee table book. This was like her first, like her memoir.
Like a book. Yeah.
Her memoir.
Nice.
And so the Fangy goes to Kayla Ingram.
Nice. Icarus was almost a cover that I picked for my top three because that's one of the ones that I see a lot here, but out in the world, I always spot that book. Yeah. Like the cover's so cool.
It is eye-catching.
Yeah. So I was like,
and I love the color blue.
Yeah. Oh, do you really? Is it your favorite?
I like that. I mean, I like that shade of blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have a favorite color?
I mean, it's probably blue.
Yeah.
Or green. Oh, don't make me pick. I don't
know. Like, we don't have time for that.
No. All right.
Okay. So my favorite new to me authors this year. First one's Lily Maine because of her Goliath wrestling. Second one is Josiah Bancroft, which is that that weird steampunk Tower of Babel series that I started.
Okay. Yeah.
The prose on that is just, I want to get to that level as an author. His prose is amazing. Love his stuff. And then River Hale, because that was one of the audiobooks we did. And I just fell for that book. And like, it's usually not something that I typically seek out, but mm-hmm. I was like, this is fun. Like I was super into it. Yeah. Loved, Far From Neverland. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So But the hoofy goes to Lily Maine because she made me laugh so much.
So. That's always a good way to win.
Yes.
All right. And do you want to kick us off with our final category, favorite queer public figure?
Yes. So this one was tough because I kept wanting to pick people who were important in some capacity, but also it was like, I went down the rabbit hole of like, what is it? Not just people who are public figures, but also, why can't I think of words right now? Activists.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so I failed because the first one's just an actor. But so
you wanted important people.
Yeah. And then I saw somebody and was like, well, she's going on the list. But Chloe Grace
Moritz.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I said her name wrong, but I love her. From especially this one horror movie called Suspiria, where she plays this fairy kind of slightly crazy character right at the beginning, and she sets the tone for the movie, and yeah. I just love the shit out yeah. of it. So yeah, but I think she came out as lesbian in 2024.
Queer in some way, I forget. Like,
yes, yeah, in some way, but
one of those.
Yeah,
but she's one of those.
Used her platform to you know, speak to Kamala Harris and stuff, so I was like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I guess that kind of counts, but she, you know, came out, which I thought was cool. So.
Celebrity is definitely a public figure.
Excellent.
Yeah. And she was also like, she was the voice of Nimona, mm-hmm. and she was that like vampire child movie person. And she was in that superhero movie.
She was in Kick-Ass.
Yeah. She was in that. Yeah.
Like, she was such a baby.
Chloe Grace Moritz is great. She's also a great comedian. She had a run on 30 Rock where she was really good. I like Chloe Grace Moritz.
Was she on 30 Rock?
Yeah.
Shit. I don't remember that at all. I watched all of 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Damn. I got to rewatch that. Okay. Well, I remember her from this scary movie that I like so much. Okay. So number two is Erika Ishii. They are a voice actor for a lot of video games, notably Dragon Age. They play one of the default voices that you can pick and they smashed it. They also are going to be the lead in the next Ghost of Yotai video game that's coming out, which looks just like a female assassin samurai thing. It looks fucking cool.
Fantastic.
But they're also a huge activist. They use their platform to talk against racial injustices and things like that. They're amazing. They use both pronouns. That's why I keep waffling. And then my third pick is Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
Yes. Because I love him. And every time I get to see him just politely tell someone they're being stupid, it just makes me happy. Being like, no, let's talk about why that's wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being lovely. And my hoofy goes to Erika Ishii.
Awesome. Because
I love them.
Lovely.
Yeah.
All right. My nominees for favorite queer public figure are Jonathan Bailey.
Love.
From Wicked.
Yes, of course.
So much Wicked representation.
Yes.
But also fellow travelers and just getting a lot of awards love for those two performances.
Yeah.
And he's also like a musical theater person outside of the musical movie. So like, and he's just been like graciously, wonderfully gay and not ashamed to talk about it.
Yeah. He's great.
For years. And so I'm glad he's getting his flowers in 2024 and beyond, because he just seems like a lovely, lovely person and a great representation for like a queer actor who can also play a leading man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it can go both ways, people.
For sure.
My second nominee, Pete Buttigieg.
Excellent.
Because of all of his great work in the Kamala Harris campaign and before that, the Joe Biden campaign.
Yep.
He really is like the Democrat that I look to for those like common sense, even-keeled, logical responses to all of the craziness that's happening every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like every clip I see of him, it's like, like he should just be the messenger for all of us.
I love the way he breaks stuff down.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
And finally, another Wicked person, Cynthia Erivo.
Love it.
Who
I figured she was.
She was just fantastic in that movie, but she's also been, she came out last year and has been, you know, an advocate and an ally for long before we knew that she was a queer person herself, and has talked really eloquently about the pressure she felt to not come out and to how hard it was for her to embrace her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and is in like one of the biggest movies of the year and knocks it out of the park and gets nominated for another Oscar. So kudos to her.
She's amazing.
And the fangy goes to Jonathan Bailey because I'm only human and he's so pretty.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I picked Erica. I have a huge crush on them. So I get it. I totally get it.
Sorry. So so that was this year's Hoofies and Fangies. Yeah. As we get ready to celebrate the Oscars on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Let us know if you have some category faves. If any of our categories brought somebody to mind for you, mm-hmm. let us know in the comments who they were and who you would nominate and or give an award to for being awesome in the year 2024. Mm-hmm. And speaking of awesome people in 2024 and beyond, thank you to our listeners.
Yeah, thank you guys.
For all of you watching on YouTube or listening through podcast apps or following along on social media or listening through Patreon. Mm-hmm. We love and appreciate you all. And if you are not one of those people, I don't know how you're listening to this, but you should go join one of those platforms so that you can follow the podcast. Mm-hmm. So we will be back next week. And until then, have a great week.
See you then.
Bye.